today. Another way that we make God number one in our lives today. Last week we talked about the blessing of the Sabbath. And according to Hebrews, the Lord says that there is a Sabbath rest for the children of God. There is a Sabbath rest. There's a supernatural rest comes when I work at not working. That's the scripture we read, wasn't it? Last week we ended the service. We said in Hebrews, there is a rest that comes for those who work diligently, who work hard and not working. Because you don't want to miss out on the blessing God has for you on the Sabbath. And we said some of us have to work on Sundays. So our Sabbath then becomes Monday or Saturday or Friday or some other time when we are able to make our Sabbath. But we better have a Sabbath because, again, we gave all the reasons last week. But the bottom line is we serve a God who loves to bless his children. We serve a God who loves to reward his children. As a dad, nothing filled my heart greater than when I put a challenge to my girls and I said, girls, if you come home with this type of report card, there is a reward for you. How many of you know when the girls came home with that type of report card, I didn't go, man, what did I do? How come I told them I would do that? No, as a dad, I was excited to give my children a reward for doing what they were asked to do. And I blessed them because of it. I said, if you do this, I'm going to bless you because of that. Now, growing up, I kind of had a little thing with my brother because they would offer him a little bit nicer rewards, it seems like, that I got. I'm like, I want to be offered that reward. And they're like, well, you're a lot younger than him. It's easier for you one day when you get older. Because I didn't understand that, James, you make these grades, you're going to get a mini bike. And I'm like, I want a mini bike. And they're like, sorry, that deal's off the table for you because you're in younger grades and it's much easier down there. I didn't understand at the time, but you know how that's how it works around the family. And so anyway, it's the same way with our Heavenly Father. He sees us and he says, listen, these are the things that I'm putting in your life. I'm giving you the Word of God to help you understand some of my principles. And if you put me first, if you make me number one, now this weekend again, if you spend any time watching any type of athletics whatsoever, you saw a lot of finger wagging. And they run into a piece of grass that's got some lines around it, and they hold up a finger wagging this one, number one. And what are they trying to say? Yeah, they're number one, or their team's number one. We'll give them the benefit of the doubt. We'll just say that their team is number one. But how do you know God in his scripture has declared over and over again that he has to be number one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That anything that we put before God becomes an idol. And we know in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not bow down to any graven image. And so what has happened, though, is we saw it last week. The scripture says, Nehemiah asked the question, he says, why have you profaned the Sabbath? Why have you taken this special day that I've given for you and you turn it into just another day of work? And this world system's good at taking the things of God and profaning it. It takes the Sabbath, it takes the church, it takes marriage, and it's profaning it. Now, in Nehemiah chapter 13, I'm starting around verse 4. Now before this, Eliashib, the priest, having authority over the storerooms of the house of our God, was allied with Tobiah. Now, Sanballat and Tobiah are bad news. They were against building the walls all along. They were the ones that tried to stop them from making headway. And he had prepared for him, this is Eliashib the priest, a large room where previously they had stored the grain offerings, the frankincense, the articles, the tithes of grain of the new wine and the oil, which were commanded to be given to the Levites and the singers and the gatekeepers and the offerings for the priests. But during all this, I was not in Jerusalem. So for about a year, then he had to leave Jerusalem, and now he has come back. And verse number 8, and it grieved me bitterly. Therefore I threw all the household goods and Tobiah out onto the street. These rooms that were specially, we're going to see, they were consecrated and dedicated for housing the tithes and housing the offerings. He had filled with his own junk, his own stuff. Then I commanded, verse 9, them to cleanse the rooms. And I brought back into them the articles of the house of God with the grain offering and the frankincense. And I also realized that the portions for the Levites had not been given them. For each of the Levites and the singers who did the work had gone back to his field. And so I contended with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and I set them in their place. Then all Judah brought the tithe of the grain and the new wine and the oil to the storehouse. Father, we thank you today for this precious word to us. These are words of life that we're reading this morning. God, I thank you for the example that you set in the word of the Lord on how to worship you in spirit and in truth, how to make you number one in our lives. Thank you now for anointing my lips. Lord, give me your heart today in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Last week, the result of people who decided to not follow the Sabbath, it said that many of them were perishing because of unbelief and hardness of their heart. Many of them were dying premature because they decided that somehow, and again, we were very clear, weren't we, last week? Jesus said it himself. Which one of you guys, if your ox or your donkey falls in a ditch, you don't pull it out immediately? Even though it's the Sabbath, absolutely pull that thing out of the ditch. I don't expect anything less than that. But if your ox falls in the ditch this week and next week and the next week and the next week, what did we say? It was time to have a barbecue. Because, again, we have to have this rest in our lives. Our bodies are designed for a certain amount of rest. And we're a sleep-deprived society. Not only, and again, it's crazy. Because now, not only is one of the biggest market in the United States is power energy drinks. Okay? It's huge. And I don't know how much, what is one of those little cans a rock star go for these days? $3 a pop? Wow. And yet, these people drink, and a lot of folks drink these energy drinks like they were water. And it's why? It's because they're not getting enough sleep during the night. So now they're coming out with a whole new brand of drinks to take that you go before you go to bed. So you take a drink before you go to bed to get go to sleep. Then you take a drink in the morning to wake you up. Hello? The Lord has designed these bodies to be able to take in nutrients, to be able to take in good food so that we have energy from the food that we eat. And then after we've worked, now there's a politically incorrect term, work. After we've worked a full day, you hit your bed, your head hits the pillow, and because you've worked, you're tired, and you go to sleep. And then the next morning you get up and you do it again. Now, I'm not saying from time to time we don't have bad night's sleep or something like that, but I'm telling you what, the Lord has a rest for us and for the people of God. Amen. And so we just have to be able to step again. I believe the Lord is challenging us to a higher level of faith with him and trusting him in all these areas. Amen. And so I want to be blessed. And God says, I will bless the people of God. Because listen, when it comes to our tithes and our offerings we're going to talk about today, this is just one aspect of making him number one, isn't it? This is just one aspect of our lives where we're saying, Lord, I am going to put you first in my life, in my finances. I'm going to put you first in my life, in my relationships. God, you have to be first in my life, in my marriage. You have to be first in my life when it comes to business, my business, or at work. You have to be number one in my lives. Because can I encourage us today, particularly when it comes to money, our security cannot be in the dollar bill. Let me tell you what. This financial crisis that this country is about to experience, you know, the government, and a lot of folks are like, I hope the government shuts down next week. I hear a lot of people saying that. Boy, that'd be the best thing that could happen, is for the government to shut down. Well, let me tell you what. That sounds great and fun. Oh, yeah, the government can't spend any more of our money. But let me tell you what. There's a lot of necessary things that the government does that needs to continue going on. And yes, we need to be praying for our leaders, because our country does need to be financially balanced. We need to have a budget, and we need to stay in our budget. And so I encourage you, are you praying for our leaders? Because here's what they're going to try to do. They're going to say, well, we failed again, so let's raise our debt ceiling a little higher. Let's go farther into debt. How many of you know going farther into debt is not the answer? It's not the answer for you, and it's not the answer for our government. But here's what they're saying can very easily happen, is that we get stalemated politically, get into a political stalemate, and as a result of that, the United States goes into a crash. And when the United States goes into a crash, then the whole world economy goes into a crash. And that money that we're so thankful that we receive will not be worth the paper that it's printed on. It's an absolute financial disaster that's waiting for us. So our trust can't be in the dollar bill. Our trust can't be in this money. And so when we talk about putting God first in our lives, we understand this. Our trust can't be in riches. Our trust, our retirement, and all these things. We can't just say, boy, I put away here. Well, I'm glad you've planned and retired. But ultimately, our trust must be in the Lord. Amen? And He's going to take care of us. That's what we have to understand, that even if this thing goes belly up in the weeks and months or years to come, that the Lord has His people as the apple of His eye, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people. Amen. I'm encouraged this morning as we're talking about giving, as we're talking about this, just this again, this is one aspect of putting God first. Now, Mark chapter 10, Jesus is going to bring this story home for us. He's going to bring this principle home to us, what it means to put God first in every area of our lives. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. And as He was going out on the road, there came one running to Him. Many believe this is Joseph of Arimathea. Knelt before Him and asked Jesus, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Now this is a great question. What do I need to do to make sure that I have eternal life, that I inherit eternal life? And think about all the answers that Jesus could have gave him. Think about all the answers Jesus could have gave this young man about what it means to receive, inherit eternal life, to have his name written down in the Lamb's book. But notice Jesus' response to him. First, He says, "Why do you call Me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And the young man went, whew, got it covered. Got it covered. No problem, man. I am in. He said, "Teacher, all things I've done all these things since I was a kid. All these commandments, I learned them when I was in children's church. I'm good to go, aren't I?" Jesus, looking at him, underlining your Bible, loved him. Loved him. These words that He are going to speak to him are words of love. Loved him. And said to him, And here's that phrase again we saw 2 weeks ago. One thing. Everyone say one thing. One thing you lack. Go your way. Sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me. Here's what he was saying. Son, you are a good person. You're a good person. There's lots of good people out there, church. Lots of good people that are following the Big Ten. But did that cut it? No, because here's what's not preached in pulpits. When we make Jesus Lord of our lives, and we use that word Lord so flippantly these days, we don't understand lordship. But basically, here it is. When we make Jesus number one in our lives, it is total surrender. Total surrender. And what I'm saying is, everything that I have is no longer mine. It's God's anyways. Everything that I have. So that if the Lord were to come to me today and say, David, I need you to give this away and give this away, it wasn't mine anyway. I was just being a steward of it for the king. Now, the disciples are watching this whole thing going on. Now, the good news is many believers or many theologians feel like this was Joseph of Arimathea. And how many of you know that in the end, Joseph of Arimathea was the one who gave Jesus his tomb and let him borrow it for a couple of days? The story, life story of Joseph of Arimathea is he was a very rich man, extremely rich, and he ended up giving away everything that he had. So that's who many feel this was that came to Jesus. Now, let's go on. The young man was sad, went away at the words of Jesus, for he had great possessions. Now, then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were astonished at his words. They were struck. They were just struck with these words of Jesus. And Jesus answered again, because how did they ask a question? In their hearts, they asked the question, how can this be? And Jesus answered them in their hearts. We knew what they were thinking. Why? Because Jesus is a prophet. He's God in the flesh, all-knowing. Answered them in their hearts and said this. Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. Those who put something greater than me in their lives, I am not number one in their lives. Their trust is in riches. Their trust is in this, in money, in the economic system. Those who do that, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for these type of people to enter the kingdom of God. Is money important? Yes. Is Scripture talk about money a lot? Yes. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money. Money's not evil. Money's just anything else that God gives us to be a steward of. But the love of money is the root of all evil. And that for this young man, he was struggling at this time in his life. How can I give away all these things? Then what will become of me? Now, was Jesus asking him to be poor? No, that was not the issue at all. Jesus knew in his heart there was an area where he could not be number one. And it just happened to be money. For some people, it's not money at all. They don't have any problem with money. But it's pride themselves. They want to be number one of their lives. Or it's another area of their lives where it's in their career. And rather than saying, God, thank you that you direct and ordain my steps, and praying about decisions they make. No, they just want to climb the ladder. They just want to climb the ladder. And whatever it takes to get there. And God's not first in their lives. He couldn't make him first. Can I encourage you this morning? When we give of our money, and particularly when we give of our tithes, it is consecrated to him. It's showing him, when we give our tithes, it's showing him, God, here's my first 10% of what I have. I'm going to give it to you because, Lord, you're first in my life. So I'm going to give you my first. I'm going to give you my first 10%. And again, here's the thought. Our tithes and all these special things that are dedicated to him, they are consecrated. Scripture says this, a tenth of all you produce is the Lord's, and it is holy. Anytime you see that word holy in the Bible, it means set apart. It's set apart for special purpose. And don't take that which is the Lord's and use it for anything else. For the moment you take it away and you use it for something else, it becomes cursed. And it's the principle of the first that we see all through the Bible. Things that are supposed to be consecrated for the Lord's and for the kingdom of God, don't use them for anything else. Ask King Belteshazzar. I think I said that right. Belshazzar. He took the utensils that were used for worshiping the Lord. They're consecrated utensils in the temple. He took them out of the temple and he brought them out to his party. Think about that. Remember the story in Daniel? And he's having this huge party and he's like, oh, go get those special utensils that we saw in the temple and bring them to our party and let's use them for my party. Because if they're good enough for God, they're good enough for me. Well, guess what? He got the Lord's attention. Something special. Because a hand came up on the wall and began to write a note to him about him doing that. And the Lord said, bottom line, buddy, your time is up. And I don't appreciate your attitude. And you took that which was consecrated and should be blessed. The things of the Lord, when you take that which is consecrated and use them for his kingdom, you're blessed. But when they're used the wrong way, they become cursed. And as I was praying and thinking about this, the Lord said this. He said, listen to me. Think about your relationship with your wife. Look, if you have a wedding band this morning, would you take it off for just a second and hold it in your hand? If you have a band this morning and you don't mind doing this, take it off and hold it in your hand and look at it. You know what this band represents? You're consecrated. You're dedicated. You are totally committed to the one that this band represents. And as long as you are consecrated and committed to your spouse, you are blessed. Blessed. Why? Because God has ordained and consecrated marriage between a man and a woman. But anytime there is any type of sexual activity outside of the band of this marriage, it is cursed. There's nothing good that comes from it. And I'm telling you what, parents, I encourage you. Here's what we did with my daughters. When they turned 16, We gave them a band to wear and said, this is your purity band, and this is you consecrating yourself to the Lord until the day a young man slips a ring on your finger to be his husband. To remind you that you are set apart. Again, to be holy means set apart. And as long as it's set apart, it's blessed. The Sabbath day is set apart so that you can be what? Blessed. But it's only when we blaspheme the Sabbath day and we say it's just old, that's just, you know, why worry about it? Then we start not living under God's blessings. Now, I read you a verse last week in Genesis chapter 4. Let's go back to it. Genesis chapter 4, and you can just look at the screen. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord. Just in the process of time, Cain brought this offering to the Lord. But Abel also brought an offering. But what was his offering? The firstborn, the first fruit of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. Now, two things we need to see here. Number one, this is before the law. So we're not even talking about, this is before the law, that they were bringing offerings to the Lord. And Cain just said, you know what, I've got some of this left over here, this fruit over here left over. I'll bring that as my offering. Can I tell you something? And the Lord did not respect his offering. He did not honor it. He did not take his offering. Why? Because that very thing, it was leftovers. God does not take leftovers. Now, let's think about this in the natural. How many of you would invite even just Pastor Harley and his wife over and say, yeah, we got some leftovers for you, Pastor? Now, I wouldn't be disappointed. I like croc. You can laugh. Hello? We don't invite people over to our house and say, I got some leftovers for you. Our Heavenly Father doesn't want our leftovers. He wants our first. He wants our best. Amen? And Cain said, I'll bring you some of my leftovers. Whereas Abel brought the firstborn of the flock. Everyone say first. Exodus chapter 13. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, consecrate to me all the firstborn. Now this is the law now. Now we are in the law. Whoever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beasts, it is mine. It is holy. It is consecrated. It is set aside for a specific purpose. Jumping down now, verse 12, and when it shall be, when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, and as he swore unto you to your fathers and gives it to you, that you shall set apart to the Lord all that open the womb, that is, every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the male shall be the Lord's, but every firstborn of a donkey, because a donkey is unclean, you shall redeem. Everyone say redeem. Redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. And all of the firstborn of man among your sons, you shall redeem. And it shall come to pass, and when your son asks you in time, why are we doing this? That your response is to be, that by the strength the hand of the Lord brought us out of Egypt and out of bondage. And he goes on to tell the story that Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go, that the Lord killed the firstborn, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that are open to the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. Now think about this, and some of you are already way ahead of me. Those who are born unclean had to either have their neck broke or they had to be redeemed with the lamb. How many of us were born clean? We were all born unclean with a sin nature. But how many of you know this? We've all been redeemed by the blood of the lamb. Can we give God a praise this morning? Wow. He's the God of the first, making him first in our lives. When Adam and Eve sinned, what happened? There had to be a sacrifice so that they could be redeemed. And so in our story, we see Nehemiah coming home after a year later, and all the tithes, all the stuff that's supposed to be consecrated to the Lord has been taken, and there's no room for it. And the church system, all the priests and the Levites all had to leave the church and go back to the fields and work. They couldn't attend to the house of God. And Nehemiah says, why is the house of God forsaken? Now, I'm so thankful for Living Waters Fellowship. Your heart is so passionate for the kingdom of God and for this church. And your heart of giving is so great. And you've never forsaken the house of God. You've never, Living Waters, you've never forsaken the house of God. It's always been first. I'm talking to all those other Christians again out there. Amen. All those other folks out there. And so we come and we bring our first fruits to Him. And as a result, we're blessed. We're so blessed. Again, the reason why I preach this message is because I want you blessed. I want you walking in the blessings of the Lord. Again, there's only two or maybe three scriptures in the Bible where He commands the blessing. What you think about this? And all the scriptures in the Bible, He says He commands the blessing. And the one of them is in Deuteronomy. He says, listen, I command the blessing on your storehouse. Also, we know that He also says in Psalms that where brethren dwell together in unity, there I command the blessing. Amen? And so when He says in Malachi chapter 3, and again, I struggled this week again with this. I'm like, Lord, how come we always have to come back to Malachi when we're talking about tithing? Why couldn't you have moved this verse 16 verses over into the New Testament? He says, you know why you have to come back to Malachi chapter 3? Because what do preachers do when they want to talk about love? Yeah, they go to 1 Corinthians, to the love chapter. Does anyone ever complain about that? When preachers want to talk about faith, what do? They go to Hebrews and talk about the hall of faith, because it's the faith chapter. You know why you're going to go back and talk about Malachi chapter 3? Because it's the tithing chapter. I'm like, Lord, that makes so much sense. Thank you. Thank you for showing me that and reminding me of that. That's just one of those things. It's one of those chapters that keys in on it. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven, and pour out for you a blessing. Oh, I'm so thankful today for the blessings of God. Again, this is just one area, isn't it, where we're making Him Lord. And if you, it's like the infomercial. And now, if you call within the next 30 seconds, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail or bear fruit for you in the field, and all the nations will call you blessed. Of course, he has to start this chapter off by saying, I'm God and I change not. So guess what? The God that was there speaking to us in Malachi is the same God that's there speaking to us in the New Testament, isn't he? Amen. Amen. He loves us so much. And all the nations will call you blessed, and you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts, all if you go ahead and continue to make me number one in your area of finances and don't trust in your riches. Nehemiah understood it. He took it. He made it straight. They brought all the tithes back into the storehouse. Because again, we all have to have a storehouse where God can open the windows and command the blessing on. I don't know this. Here's what I'm praying the Lord is doing for you. He's commanding the blessing on your storehouse. Amen. Now, some people have gone so far to say, but most people don't have a storehouse. And as a result, how can He bless your storehouse if you don't have a storehouse? And one author says, I've read, says, listen, you need to have a storehouse account. Most of us call our savings account a savings account, but he says, make sure you're calling it, it is your storehouse account, because you want God blessing your storehouse. Amen. You want your barns filled with plenty. That's what Proverbs says. And your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. That's the blessings of the Lord. And so we're blessed today to be able to come and give finance. And again, that's just one part of making God number one, isn't it? Stand with me this morning, if you would. Carrie, come on. You know, this thing of making him number one, I saw as I was praying, I was seeing faces of folks, and some of them were yours, and some were people that God's going to be bringing to us. And he asked me, he says, how are you going to be able to portray to them what it means to be Lord of their lives? Lord. Because it's easy to give a salvation message and say, you know, just come, confess your sins. But when we really get down to that part of making him Lord of our lives, if you confess in your heart and believe that Christ has raised him from the dead, confessing him as Lord, that's what we're talking about today, church. And yeah, I've talked about money, but that's a small part. That's such a small part of the picture. Yes, I want you to be blessed, and I want you to bring your tithe. Bring it and give your tithe so that you can be blessed. They were told there in Malachi that you've robbed him, and because of that, you're living under a curse. And we understand this, that curses are only made to draw us back to God. But this thought of making him first in our lives, I mean really first, really being able to say, God, you are my Lord. That there's nothing here on heaven and on this earth. There's nothing out there that this world system has to offer that can ever pull me away and take the place of you being first in my life.